This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Another week, this week in the NFL, we're here for you. Recording on a Friday night, joined as always by the one and only John D'Amato. John, what's going on, man?
Cowboys, great to see you this weekend. We had a great time at the UFC. I hope nobody betted on Diaz, which was your lock. It didn't work out, and even Diaz himself said that it was merciful ending.
I mean, to say I said it was a lock it's a little revisionist history right there. I did like Diaz in the fight. All credit to Masvidal. Masvidal fought great. He has really improved as he's gotten older. I mean, he was always good, but he's like a destroyer now, so good for him. He fought well. The whole card was real good. I had a great time. I'm actually wearing the shirt right now, John, the white shirt that they sold. The event shirt for this, guys, was white. Very rare. Usually black or some other color. So I bought it, and I wear it, and I'm just terrified to get anything on it. Like, that's all, all I'm thinking about. I'm only drinking water. You know, just, you know, no fruit punch or anything that could ruin my shirt. So just know throughout this podcast that's going to be on my mind.
Preserve it. Yeah, it was a great time. You and Bobby, we're going to make an annual thing. If they keep coming in November, we the Pizza Suprema right across from the Garden. We give them a plug. They're amazing. We'll keep eating, Pat. That was it's one of the best spots right across from the Garden.
Yeah, Pizza Suprema, and that was fantastic. And then, who was in that first fight? Because that was fantastic, too. What was his name again? The first fight.
Kevin Lee?
No. We met a couple of his fans in line waiting to go in. Do you remember?
Yeah. His name, I can't believe it escapes me. Not Santos.
Yeah, we'll get it here. No problem. Yeah. He was he was on the early prelims, and we were Julio Arce.
Arce, yes.
He was on the early prelims, and we were, you know, we like to get into the event early, so we were going in early, and we, you know, ran into a couple of nice ladies who were there with Julio Arce, and you know, they were rooting for him, so we showed our support. He did lose a decision, but I thought he fought well, and you know, great fan base he had. Am I right?
Yeah, it turns out inside, we were right behind them as we were going up the escalator. We were right behind them for like 2-3 floors.
And yeah, you know, there's a number of escalators for those who haven't been to Madison Square Garden. So you get stuck behind somebody like that, you're kind of behind them for like a good 90 seconds to 2 minutes. Easy. Maybe two.
And as you're going up the escalators, you get a nice view of the city. But yeah. there was a better view, though.
It was a good time, John. It was a good time. So... For those of you listening who have never attended a live UFC card, highly recommend it. I've been a fan for a long time, but I didn't start going live until just a couple years ago. The first card I ever went to live was Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou in Boston. I went with my buddy Bobby. And since then, I got the itch. I've been to Madison Square Garden with John twice now, and also... head out to Vegas for a fight, and took the cowgirl just a couple of weeks ago. I took the cowgirl to Boston for a fight night, and we can't get enough. So if anyone's ever interested in doing a UFC podcast, just let me know. I'm a fountain of information.
And speaking of bad predictions, I believe there was a team that you predicted would win like only like 3 or 4 games. And last
Holy
night, they,
shit, you're just
came
com-
through,
coming came out through guns blazing, victory. John.
Johnny Gruden, the Hall of Fame coach, leading his Raiders
on
a great Thursday night victory.
You know, I think it's important in life, right? And I think there's not enough of this. I think it's important in life. One, it's important to take a stand for what you believe in, right? To not be wishy-washy, not be a pussy. You know, if you think something, you say it. So that's what I did with the Raiders. I feel like I'm a decent analyst, and I looked at it, and that's really what I thought. I really thought they were the worst team in the NFL. But another important thing in life, John, is to be able to admit when you're wrong. Admit when you're wrong and
take the L.
And give credit.
Take
the L, give credit. You know, we're not always right. I think, you know, not just in sports. in general, we could all be better at this, right? Well, we live in a black and white world. Well, there's a little bit of gray, and this is the gray. And the silver and black, baby. They are 5-4. John Gruden, if you ever listen to this, I apologize because you've done a great job with this team. The offense, you fixed Derek Carr, which I thought was impossible. I wasn't a huge fan of drafting a running back in the first round, but he's been very, very good. And you use the tight end. You have a really good offensive line. The offense is good, and the defense isn't that good. But when you got a guy on the other side who's really interested in completing passes to your free safety, this is the stuff that's going to happen. But great win. Great win, and kind of more of the same from the Chargers. Am I right, John? Right when the Raiders got the ball, right, when it was 24-20.
Yeah.
And the Raiders got the ball with, 3.5 minutes left. After being kind of shut down a little bit in the second half, I messaged John. I said, we all know how this is going to end. Lock it in, Raiders. I've seen this Chargers game 25 times in the last 5 years. And sure enough, the Raiders come down like a hot knife through butter. They actually do the thing where they scored too quick.
Just a minute left.
Jacobs took it in. It was like the Chargers were letting him score, but they really couldn't have been because they were up 4. But Josh Jacobs walks in untouched, makes it 26-24. The Raiders try to gift wrap it even more by missing the extra point. 26-24, 1 minute left. You have borderline Hall of Fame quarterback Phillip Rivers. You have Keenan Allen. You have Mike Williams. You have Melvin Gordon. You have Austin Eckler. You have Hunter Henry. You have a loaded offense, and you only need 3. You want to know what Rivers did on that last drive, John? Do you know what his statistics were?
I believe it was a zip for 7.
0 for 7, John.
The only odds they gained were from Raiders penalties.
If you think with a pick.
I was on 4th down. Yeah, man. That's karma because the guy should have just knocked it down, and it turns out he got hurt. The safety Joseph got hurt on.
Think about how difficult that is to do, John.
0 for 7.
Think about it. You have to go 0 for 3. Right? Over 3.
Timeouts, and he's throwing 20, 30 yards downfield. He could have just dinked and dunked that, at least a couple screens or even mix in a run. But, all his throws were 20, 30 downs or overthrows downfield. I don't understand it.
John, think about how difficult that is to do.
Right? Yeah, 0 for 7.
Because the only way that it can happen, really, right, or pretty much the only way it can happen, you got to go 0 for 3, right? You're 0 for 3. You got to get that penalty on 4th down, right?
Because
you can't complete the pass. Because you can't get the 4th down by completing the pass because that fucks up the offer. So 0 for 3, penalty on 4th down, a gift penalty too. It wasn't even a penalty. It was an awful call. And then 0 for 4 with a pick to seal it at the end. I mean, what in... I'm done defending them. You know, I've been saying all year the Chargers, they're a good team. They just have bad luck. At one point or another, it's not luck. This was beyond a winnable game. They should have won this game. They lost by 2 points. Rivers gift wrapped a touchdown and a field goal early in the game, and then put on that just putrid display on the last drive. And he tried to throw a pick before that on the last drive, too. I mean, he had a couple of picks turned and called back. He almost threw 3 to the same guy.
Yeah, I'll give him a mulligan on one where the receiver fell down. One of the Harris picks.
Henry fell down coming out of his break. But just in case you wanted to think that, hey, that might have been the receiver's fault, Rivers threw it directly to that guy by a penalty.
But the first one to Harris was like 10 yards over the receiver's head and right into Harris's numbers. That was brutal. But we said it We've said it many times, I've been reading a lot of it too. That might be finally the wake up call. The Chargers got to look into drafting that QB next year. Do it sooner rather than later. Don't make the giant mistake and then rely on sentimentality and keep Rivers around too long. They got to start looking into it. And also give credit to the Raiders. You had mentioned Jacobs' first round pick. Well, it's good when you have multiple first round picks from the deal that they were so ridiculed for last year. It's Khalil true. Mack. I'm not saying that the Bears made a bad deal, but certainly this year, look who's winning that deal now, because Clelin Ferrell was the other first round pick. He played great, and Maddox was it the guy's name? Maddox, the other defensive lineman, had a great game.
Yes, yeah. Clelin Ferrell has really turned. I mean, people thought they reached for him a little bit, and he's really, over the last couple of weeks, really turned it on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it was Crosby. I don't know where I got Maddox from. It was Crosby was the kid. He had another good game on the line. Benson Maiowa, too, had a couple sacks. So they really turned into a nice little defense there, Gruden. The team of Gruden and Mayock had themselves a nice draft. A lot of nice rookies. Hunter Renfrow. A fifth round, a little kind of like Welker-like receiver, made some big plays, a little slot receiver. So good job for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they're probably going to make the playoffs, right? I mean,
they're in the hunt. If they're not, then again, this could easily be a Raiders. If they don't do 7-4, they got Bengals Jets next 2 weeks. If they're not at 7-4 a couple weeks from now, then it'll probably go the other way. They still got to stay humble.
They got to win, though. I mean, I think they're like...
You never know.
I mean, it's still like, their points for and points against, like they've given up.
The offense at times was nothing. Carr reverted to some bad passes and stuff. They, for a long stretch of the game, that offense did nothing until that last drive. So they're still vulnerable, sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm kind of in on them, John. I mean, I...
Yeah, the schedule, you have to, if you look at that schedule.
Well, the schedule, and I mean, because I was so negative against them, I make sure to watch all, like, even if I don't watch them live, I make sure to watch their whole games, because I'm looking for, I'm looking for stuff to criticize them for, because I need to back up my prediction. And, no, I mean, they're really not a bad team. I mean, they're just not. Like, if you look at their losses, right, they lost to the Chiefs, and then they lost at Minnesota, at Green Bay, and at the Texans.
Yeah,
and they
those
almost
are all
beat
legit.
The Texans, you know?
Yeah, those are all legit teams, sure.
And they've won the games they're supposed to win, Denver. I mean, it really isn't an easy schedule. I remember looking at the schedule and thought they were going to be 0-9 at this point. Denver, yeah. They beat. And then at Indianapolis, they won. Home for Chicago, they won. Home for Detroit, home for the Chargers. I mean, it's for Chicago, was that in that was in London, right?
Yeah, that was a London game.
Because they started out, so they were 1-1 after the first 2 weeks of the season, and then they haven't been home. They weren't home until week 9 against Detroit. So it's really impressive.
Yeah, and also even in the games they lost, they don't do like the dumb Cleveland Cleveland losing team type stuff. Gruden's got them playing hard and playing smart, not like the dumb Raiders of the past with all the penalties. Solid job.
Yeah, and I mean, Carr's not turning it over, and Ty Williams, who I thought they gave too much money to, is actually, I mean, Gruden's using him the right way. He's taking the top off the defense with him, and it's opening things up underneath for Waller. They got those, all the running backs can catch, all three of them. And that line, I mean, and you always say this, John, and it's true, and I think in the fantasy football world, we kind of forget about it, that, having a good offensive line like that is huge. It is. It's just massive, and it makes up for a lot of other stuff. You see it with the Colts, too, and the Raiders do. They have one of the best offensive lines in football, which they can lean on when they have to, when they need to run. Their defense their defense is not very good. It's gotten a little better, but, I mean, they're still the least amount of points they've given up since week 1 was 21 to the Bears. Which 21 to the Bears, not exactly. But that's like giving up 50 to other teams.
Yeah, they're going to struggle. A couple of their secondary guys went down too, so they're going to have to fill in with the injuries.
Yeah, but then to your point, John, home for the Bengals at the Jets. If they can win those two, they are sitting pretty because they have, at Kansas City's a loss, but then home for Tennessee, home for Jacksonville, and then at the Chargers, who will almost certainly have completely quit on the season at that point, and then at the Broncos, who have already quit. So, yeah, the Raiders are looking like they're going to make the playoffs.
If they have to play for something, though, then they'll give them a tough game that last game, even though they ain't much. But that Charger game will be like a home game.
I might
game
be playing quarterback, but we'll try hard.
Hey, we're going to get to that. If your name is Allen, you were in good shape. Last week was a good week if your name was Allen.
John, so we have our big you played in this at least once. We do we annually play a flag football game.
Yes, I made one appearance. I scored one touchdown, and I dropped the mic.
So the way things have broken this year, I am playing quarterback for my team. I did it a little bit last year. No, I'm definitely a lot of you guys don't know me, but probably would be more of a wildcat option than a stand back there and chuck it around like Brady. But the quarterback can't run in this one. So last year, by strategy, I kind of waited. I would wait until the rushers had counted and were coming in, and then I'd run around to back there and wait for people to get open. So we're looking to do that. And Ryder is making his first appearance in the game.
Oh, wow.
So Ryder and I have been working diligently on our plays. He's got 5 routes in the route tree. We have hand signals, so he knows what to do.
Oh my God!
So he's got a square in, he's got a slant, he's got a wide receiver screen, he's got a post, and he's got the fly pattern. So
the square in was always my favorite. The old 7 yards and cut.
That
works every time.
We're money for that one. He's good with the slant too. And I mean, really, if we can get some open space, he's good with the post pattern, but that's going to be a little tougher amongst the adults. Ryder's only 10 years old, guys.
So. look forward to hearing the results.
I digress.
Of that.
I will give everybody a big update next week on how things went, on whether I survived the whole game playing quarterback, or if they decided that that at 40 I wasn't ready to make the leap.
Yeah. So speaking of quarterbacks named Allen, let's segue into your Panthers, which was a decent prediction by you. They've been pretty good, but
I mean, yes. Yeah, Matt John. I mean, they have been good.
And also another thing that you were
30-20.
Another issue with that you and Mr. Rosero have been were on from the start, way before all these experts, the Cam Newton situation. He's pretty much done for the year, and they're already talking about they're not going to take on that big money. So he might be in another uniform next year. You and Mr. Rosero are all over this.
It's sad for me.
Before all these experts were. So kudos to you guys.
Thanks. So here's one I wish I was wrong about. It was just kind of, you read the tea leaves and you watch him play and he just hasn't looked right. You know, he didn't look right last year. And I mean, I love the guy. He's one of my favorite players. And you just wonder, I mean, I hope having basically like this whole year off, If he heals up, because he's not old, you know, was he 31? Like, he still has at least a year or two where he could be the real Cam Newton if he's healthy. So if I were them, I would not let him go. I would bring him back at least for the 1 year at that money. He can always do it the next year. I don't think Kyle Allen's the long-term answer. And they're a good team. I mean, they have a really good chance, obviously, to make the playoffs. They went into Tennessee came to Carolina, and it's the kind of game that you're if you're a decent team, you're supposed to win, right? The Titans, they played okay, but the Carolina defense was opportunistic. Christian McCaffrey continued to do his Marshall Faulk impression, and it was just a nice win, nice solid win.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Allen, especially when the competition gets tougher. But
Niners game was right. Obviously, their real test so far, and he flunked it with flying colors, unfortunately. And the Panthers this week, it's another tough game for them. This is a real test at Green Bay. It's one of the toughest things you can do in football. at Green Bay, with Green Bay coming off an absolute dud of a performance against the putrid Chargers. They only scored 11 points. I mean, it was just real weird game if you watched it. It was just like you kind of looked up and it was already like the end of the third quarter. You know, it's just like they just couldn't get anything going the whole game. So you got to think they're going to come out with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And the Smith boys are going to be getting after Kyle Allen. And you wonder if Allen can hold up. Now, the obvious thing that the Panthers can do is Green Bay's run defense is a big, big, big weakness. And obviously Carolina has the best running back in the NFL. So if there's a path to victory for the Panthers, that's it, is pound McCaffrey, right?
Yeah, I would give the Panthers a good shot, but the Packers coming off that game, I don't see them playing two stinkers in a row. I think they're going to come out fired up, and Rodgers had some motivating talks in his presses this week. But surprisingly, it's starting to get cold, and I'm sure the weather may be a factor, but that might even favor the Panthers because the Packers are looking like they're a little weak on the run defense, and of course the Panthers with McCaffrey, so that may favor them to dial down the offense, go a little conservative with Allen, and then so they may keep it close, but I'm going to lean towards the Packers.
Me too. And, you know, the thing, like, the Panthers' defense is good, but they're kind of good in an opportunistic way. Like, they give up yards, and they give up points. And Rodgers, not the greatest guy to go against for that kind of defense, because he doesn't really make mistakes. You know what I mean, John? Like, he's not throwing picks. He's, you know, he's they can have trouble against, like, a solid defense. But these a defense like the Panthers, who you can move the ball on, I think is bad news for Carolina. I like Green Bay, probably double digits too.
Yeah, and if the Panthers fall to 5-4, they can say goodbye to any chances of any division action with the Saints running away. So they're gonna be in that wild card dogfight, and it doesn't look good. There's too many teams in that fight, and I think they're gonna fall short. You got like the Eagles, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Vikings. And out of all of them, I think I don't think Carolina is going to stay there with Allen.
Agreed. I mean, we'll see. That's a tough. This is a tough game. If they can win this game, you got to really take them seriously. But this is a tough game. I mean, you just mentioned Seattle, and I know, like, coming into the week, that didn't seem like one of – I don't even know if we talked about the game. But what a fantastic game that was. Tampa at Seattle, with Seattle winning in OT. Russell Wilson, holy moly, John, huh? I mean, he's incredible.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, there's not much – we go on and on about Wilson. He's probably the leading MVP candidate, but – What's surprising is the Legion of Boom has turned into the Legion of Bums. Seattle's defense, very soft.
And they don't have much of a defense.
Yeah, it's surprising. They added Clowney, but without Earl Thomas, you can see their secondary is really soft. And I put them kind of in the category with the Panthers as far as those wild card contenders, Rams, Vikings, Eagles, etc. I put the Panthers in Seattle towards the bottom of that of that group because I don't like what I see out of that defense. And going into the Niners, I would give them a shot to be the first to put the first one on the Niners, but I don't think so.
They're 7-2 though. I mean, that's a pretty good head start they have on some of the other wild card teams. You know, like, I mean, I guess the Vikings are 6-3. Carolina's 5-3. The Rams are 5-3. Cowboys are 5-3.
But for the wild card tiebreakers are going to come down to the teams they're fighting for. They play at Philly on the 24th, and then they follow that by home versus Minnesota, and then at Rams. Those are three teams that they'll be fighting for in the wild card. So those are going to be three huge games because that's going to be a tiebreaker. It's going to come. Most likely, it'll be tied with one or two of those three teams for that wild card spot, and then the tiebreaker, the first one, will be head to head. So those are huge games. Philly, Minnesota, Rams, and Carolina, all the teams in the wild card hunt, they play each other from the 24th for the four straight weeks.
Yeah, and Seattle's schedule is really...
Fascinating schedule, yeah.
Seattle's schedule specifically is really daunting. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
At the Niners...
Five games in a row, yeah.
Yeah, at the... Well, I mean, really all but one game the whole rest of the season. At the Niners, at Philly... Home for the Vikings, at the Rams, at the Panthers, home for the Cardinals. That's a soft
touch.
And
even the Cardinal game, because the Seattle kind of takes the teams for granted at home. They don't blow anybody out, and the Cardinals have been
feisty. The Cardinals are feisty.
So I think Seattle earlier prediction. Seattle and the Panthers are going to be at the on the outs as far as that wild card.
Hey, we'll see. But with all that said, it was a heck of a game to watch. I know you're not a huge fan of the shootout, but I mean, he was absolutely incredible in that game. And Jameis played his best game of the season. So,
also, I'm not a fan of when the overtime ends with only one team touching the ball.
Yeah, well, you knew this game was like the Pats Chiefs playoff game, that whoever got the ball had a really good chance to end it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like the. I'm in favor of the wild card. The overtime rule, except for that. That would be one thing I would change. At least make it where both teams get to touch the ball. You give the other team a chance to score a touchdown.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that they could potentially change that.
Yeah, I definitely like the pro overtime way better than the college, but that's just one wrinkle that I would change.
And you mentioned it, John. So we talked about it a little bit, but Seattle going to San Francisco. Who would have thought at the beginning of the year that it would be?
Yeah, 49ers. I know.
Well, they're undefeated, and Seattle would come in 7-2.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I doubted the 49ers, and I picked against them, but they finally won me over. And this week they get Juszczyk back, a big part of their fullback,
Kyle
a big
Juszczyk.
Part of their offense. Yeah,
and David Johnson, he's pretty good too. He's coming back,
and also a couple guys on their offensive line, Staley and McGlinchey were out, and then they're coming back. So, I like the 49ers real strong on Monday night.
The Cardinals gave them all they could handle on Thursday. That was a really good game. But yeah. Jimmy G, finally, I think it was the kind of game he needed. He kind of broke out. You know, it's tough to say when your team's undefeated at week 10 that your quarterback's been in a funk, but he really hadn't played that great. And he came out through four touchdown passes. I know the Arizona defense is soft, but I think from a confidence perspective from him, that was a big game.
Yeah, they needed him because the 49ers defense wasn't as stout as usual. They slacked off. But we spoke about that. Remember, we recorded last Friday. We covered that, so.
We did. Yep. Sorry, John. See?
No worries. I tried to schmuck correct you a little slyly, but you didn't have to acknowledge it. It's all good.
Oh,
but who
okay.
you like? Who you like? You like 49ers too?
Yes. Yes. I think it's going to be close, and I think it could come down to the end.
This is not good. We're agreeing too much. This is no fun. All right.
That's all right. We got plenty we'll disagree on.
Let's try to find something juicy.
There's a lot of good games this week, so we got plenty to talk about.
I wouldn't say a lot, and unfortunately, the Monday and the Sunday, the regular ones, a stinker. I have to rely on the I don't have the DirecTV, what do you call it, the ticket. So I got to rely on whatever. So
I don't have the ticket either. I got two
piss break specials at 1 o'clock. I got the old Black Cat special, the Jets and the Giants at 1 o'clock. And then even at 4 o'clock, guess what they're throwing? Dolphins at Colts. I get to see the Dolphins 2 weeks in a row. Whoa,
really?
There's nothing at CBS at 4 o'clock. That's the only one.
Are you getting a Fox game? Are you getting?
Yeah. Get Packers and.
I was gonna say. I mean, nobody's gonna watch Dolphins at Colts.
Yeah.
Except maybe the players' mothers. I mean, that's.
No, you fantasy guys will be watching.
I mean. As a fantasy guy, I could say if you have a lot of Dolphins or Colts on your team, you're probably already done for.
Hey, listen, that tight end, the Dolphins, Gesicki had a nice game versus the Jets. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you want to talk about Dolphins Jets?
Not really, but it just to make a point, it just goes to show that the owners, not really the owners, but you know, front office is the one that sets up the tank. But when you, the players out there, there's a lot of guys that are out there fighting for contracts. They're not like out there on the field trying to lose.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
The same's true in the NBA. I mean, the team can be set up in such a way that they're probably going to lose, but it's never where the guys, I mean, these guys have pride. They're not going to go out there and throw the game. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Bobby Does Ryan Portis Fitzpatrick really give a shit about the future of the Dolphins?
Bobby Portis led my Knicks to one grand victory this year. I don't think he scored a point since.
Bobby!
But the Dolphins. But the Dolphins, all their concussion. Games in the first half have been competitive.
Oh, yeah. And if they finally broke through. I mean, they didn't play great. This is really an indictment on the Jets. I mean, a lot of people, I think us included, kind of thought they might be a little frisky this year, right? At least take a step forward. Now they have Le'Veon Bell. They brought in C.J. Mosley. But, I mean, talk about a dumpster fire. I mean, they're the biggest dumpster fire in the NFL.
Yeah, they put out an offensive line that's non-competitive. Where a quarterback, they can't even make a simple play. Bell gets the ball, and then there's four guys right on him. Not to be repetitive, but I've seen that with the Giants the last few years, and there must be something with that stadium, the Black Hat Curse, or something. But with that, I wouldn't be surprised if they man up and pull a win out over the Giants this week.
It's not much of a game.
Not at all.
It's one of those games. There's no result that would really be surprising. The only thing that would be surprising is if the game's very well played.
Both teams are going to lose. The loser loses the game and the pride, and the winner loses some draft position.
Exactly.
They move up in a draft, yeah.
All right, John. So before we get into a couple of the other games, we got to take a quick 5-minute break, if that's okay with you.
All right. Let's talk about.
We'll be back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Take the break here to tell everybody what we have going on over at Place to Be Nation on both the pop feed, the wrestling feed, and PlaceToBeNation.com. So first on the pop feed, the Sarcastic Four are back with the latest episode of the Marvel Age podcast, where they continue their look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year 1972. A little before my time, John. Do you remember 1972? You were just a little guy, right?
5 years old, yes, sir.
Yeah. So, a little before our time, but I'm sure it's great. Scott Criscolo and Jennifer Smith wrap up October and our month-long tribute to Halloween with What a Scream! The History of Horror in America, a special. Weekly, The hard-traveling fanboys are back with the latest edition of Fix It or Nix It, 2015's Fantastic Four. Another one of our weekly shows, DC For You, delivers an in-depth look at the current events from this month. The show you're listening to now, also a weekly edition. This week in the NFL, we come at you every week with all the hard-hitting analysis and jokes that you've come to know and love. Weekly, the siblings of Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. On episode 23, they bring you The Office, season 3, episodes 17 and 18. On the latest episode of The Great Debate, Andy welcomes Nate Milton, Peter Winston, and Matt Souza to discuss a variety of topics in sports and pop culture. Our newest weekly show, Diamond Conversations, the third episode features an interview with author Chris Donnelly talking about the 1985 Mets. You can fucking skip that one. On the latest episode of Laugh In Theater, Andy is joined by Mirandia to live watch the 1988 comedy Beetlejuice. Always a favorite of mine, John. I don't know about you.
Oh, I love the Michael Keaton. It's tremendous.
It's a great movie. Otho. You remember Otho?
Oh, yeah. We were dying for him to just torture that big fat fuck.
Anyway.
Does he remind you of anybody?
Not off the top of my head. If I thought about it, I might be able to come up with something, though. The greatest sitcom of all time tournament is starting soon. Make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single matchup. And as we've talked about, Sledgehammer is in the bracket. So get your ass onto that page. You like that page. And you vote for Sledgehammer.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Over at the PTVN Wrestling feed, we dive back inside the vault as Parv and Chad deliver a review of Great American Bash 1988 in this classic edition of Where the Big Boys Play. Row 1, Seat 1, number 28. Ben hosts PTB Owns JT Rosero, chronicling his history as a wrestling fan and in the founding and growth of the Place to Be Nation. In our newest show, With This Ring, husband and wife Ryan and Cindy look at 5 matches and discuss where they place on Ryan's Greatest Wrestler Ever match list, as well as Cindy's personal list. On the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott deliver their 9th annual Halloween Spooktacular. They kick things off with a spoiler-filled discussion about the Netflix Marvel Universe. Then they are joined by myself, the cowboy, Andy Atherton, and Matt Souza for a live watch of the legendary Mike Tyson versus Buster Douglas world title boxing match from February 11th of 1990. That show was a lot of fun to do. I think we talked about it last time, but if you haven't heard it, I think you'll like it. And we're going to be putting together a boxing podcast, historical boxing podcast that I'm going to be hosting, so... To our listeners, please reach out to me if you'd like to be on that. On the latest PTBN Extreme 3-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with 3 episodes of ECW Hardcore TV from 1994. Subscribe to the Jenny Position, the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. Don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including the SmackDown on Fox report, This Week in the WWE, Jason's DVD deep dive, and Ben's unpopular opinion. But don't forget about veteran columns like every Wednesday we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. And for college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crossland have their weekly Campus Hot Takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Ballots are now open, and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Anything else specific you'd like to plug, John, before we get back to football?
Nah, let's get back into it, Raj, and allow me to take the lead here. And it's very rare when I can do this, but I have to ask you, as an expert Patriot fan, what happened Sunday night? Let's go over the Patriots rehab. It's very rare we could do this. Patriot Nation always gets in a flurry about three or four times a year.
I pick the Ravens.
They rail on that team, yeah, but what went wrong? Now we get into the usual panic mode that, you know, the Patriots have the worst defense or the worst something of all time.
It's a ridiculous.
Who are we going to blame?
It's a ridiculous panic mode, first of all, because it does. It happens every year. I'll tell you. You know who the happiest person with that loss was? You can tell me who the happiest person was. Tell me who it was. Tell me what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say.
It was BB.
It was Bill Belichick. You're goddamn right it was, John.
They could care less about going undefeated. They just want to win that last game.
You don't want to go undefeated. Yeah, just the ring. They only care about the ring. The last thing Belichick wants, and frankly, he's right, is a team that's reading their own press clippings, a defense that thinks they're the greatest thing since the 85 Bears, a team that's invincible, yada, yada, yada. They went out and they got punched in the mouth. By a really dynamic player, a really great MVP candidate player in Lamar Jackson. He played fantastic. What we talked about, John, was that the Pats' run defense is a little bit suspect, right? Not as good. Their secondary is awesome, but kind of the way you can beat them is you can run on them. And if you don't have like a true number one for Gilmore to chase around, right? So the Ravens, not a great matchup for them. They ran and ran and ran. Jackson was incredible. The Ravens jumped out all over them. And the Patriots came back. And I think the Patriots would have won the game if it wasn't for Edelman's fumble.
Edelman, yep.
Yeah. Edelman's fumble that was returned. I mean, swung all the momentum, put the Ravens back up 10. And yeah, and then that last drive for the Ravens. I mean, the Patriots made a lot of mistakes in this game, a lot of kind of like stupid mistakes that teams don't usually make with penalties and things like that. But that last drive for the Ravens should be Belichick should have that on loop in the locker room, because I mean they were still in the game and they gave up whatever it was, a 9-minute drive. They couldn't get off the field on third down, and you know, by the time they got the ball back, it was 37-20 with 3 minutes left, and the game was over. So it is what it is. I think it's a good thing for the Patriots, frankly. I think it's a wake-up call. I think he is going to kick their ass in practice and show them that, hey, you think you can just show up and win, this is what happens.
Yeah, as an impartial viewer, not a Patriots hater or a fan, I had that feeling that they were gonna come back, and once that Edelman fumble came down, then I was like, oh, it's not in the cards tonight. It's not gonna happen.
I mean, they had them. There was 24-21, right? And they're driving for the win, for the go ahead touchdown. And I mean, Baltimore, like toward the end of that first half, I mean, Baltimore jumped out. Whatever it was, 21-0, I believe. And toward the end of the first half, I mean, they looked dead on defense. Brady was picking them apart. It was like all the momentum was the Patriots' way. And I mean, Edelman's not a fumbler. He doesn't fumble. It just, you know, it happens. It happens to the best of them.
Yeah, it was one of those. They got him just before he went down. The knee was a couple inches off the ground. They just got him. They played through the play at the end. But also, big was in the second quarter where the Ravens held the New England to a couple field goals. After they got this to 17-0, they got the Sanu touchdown of 17-7, and then to the Patriots D squared off and stopped them a couple times. But the Ravens hung tough and held Folk to a couple of real short touchdowns where the Patriots got inside the 10 and they had to settle for 22 and 19-yard field goals. And then once again, the Patriots stopped them again. But once that play, and then they went up two scores after the Edelman fumble. That was it. So yeah. But it shows you that for after that 17-0 lead, the Patriots figured them out for a while. So what do you think they have to do if there's a rematch in the playoffs? So what adjustments do you think will be made
for the Patriots? Yeah. I think they'll. I mean, defensive adjustments, right? I mean, I think you got to kind of make Jackson beat you with the pass, and yeah, they didn't really do that. I mean, I would think that their adjustment would be to essentially kind of sell out to stop the run. And I don't, I wouldn't put it past Belichick to have not really brought the A game plan out for this one. Do you know what I mean? With an eye toward the playoffs. I mean, because you got to think he's got something in his bag of tricks where to stop Jackson, right?
Yeah. In the past, with Randall coming in, Vic and running quarterbacks, the best defense was to incorporate like a spy, like one of their best guys, like a Hightower or Van Noy, just to follow Jackson, no matter what he does all around on the field on every play. So he's to prepare for the run or the pass.
I know, man. It's tough to do that when they're doing when they do read option, though. You know what I mean? I mean, he's just going to keep giving it to Ingram. But I would think he's got – I mean, I think it's like 9 guys in the box. man coverage, 0 blitz across the whole field, and just do that. And you know what? If your secondary is the best part of your team. If Hollywood Brown's going to burn you deep the whole game and Lamar's going to put it right on him, it is what it is. But you can't just let him run all over you like they did.
Yeah, and the Ravens are in good shape now. They got a winless Bengals this week for a team that's given them troubles though in the past. If AJ Green was coming back, I wouldn't all go out and pick the Bengals to get their first one. But I would say they would keep it close with the. You know, I've never seen Finley play. It's gonna be his first game, but the Bengals playing tough. But AJ Green's still not ready to come back. So
I read a little bit up on Finley. Before the podcast, John, and you know, his real kind of the thing statistically that stuck out about him in the preseason was how close to the line of scrimmage all his balls traveled. So he was more of a like air yards. Like he was like, I think he was like one of the like lowest 3 air yards in the NFL in the preseason. So
you're not expecting
doesn't
much,
sound super promising.
You expect a lot of checkdowns. You're expecting a lot of checkdowns.
Yeah. But, I mean, Baltimore has to win that game, right? I mean, it would be such a
disaster. It's one of those things where the Bengals have had their number.
It's a division game, but it's like it would just be essentially render the Pats win meaningless if you go out and lose to fucking Cincinnati the next week.
Yeah, I'm sure Harbaugh will be ready for a letdown, but the first game was close. It was only 23-17.
I don't love Andy Dalton. I mean,
Dalton's not playing.
He's like serviceable at least. I mean, this kid's probably going to be in over his head, right? I mean,
but we've seen a lot of these the first time quarterbacks that they catch lightning bottle, like with Denver, the kid Allen. Just about anybody named Allen, Carolina, the kid Allen, Denver, the kid.
Right.
But maybe Cincinnati's got to find somebody named Allen to play a quarterback.
So, I mean, I think the Ravens are going to win. I'm going to say 31-3. That's my prediction.
Yeah. All right. Get the money out. Calvin, Vinny Vegas, you heard that? take the Ravens. And lay the points to make up for the, you know, all the money that Cowboy cost you betting Diaz last week.
we talked about Brandon Allen. That's a good one, John. So
I'm losing track with all these Allens. I can't. Yeah, that was Denver.
Cleveland's run of futility continues. I mean, how much of that was that? I mean, that kid was coming into a pretty good situation in that. And I know I say this sometimes in like it's like hyperbole or it's like I'm being sarcastic, but I truly feel that I could have gone out there and done what Joe Flacco did for the first 9 weeks of the season. I feel like I could have done that, you know? And so he's coming into a pretty good situation. They have decent personnel, pretty good defense, and an act to follow that was beyond underwhelming. And he gets to go against the biggest underachievers in the league in Cleveland, who, again, I mean, you've given up on them at this point, John, after that one. That had to be the straw that broke the camel's back.
Now, with that, this might be the last time, but I'm going to go with them over Buffalo this week. More because Buffalo.
Your heart, man.
No, no, no. It's not a hot thing, but they have talent. They were in that Patriot game. The last games, really the only game they got blown out was the 49ers and the first game of the year, the Titans. So they've been in all these games, and they have some talent on the defensive side, and I don't think they could go a whole year without winning a game at home. So I just think
they got
that
Miami
it's time.
Week 12. And then the Natty week 14. They got a couple of other options.
Well, good. This is our first disagreement then. So you're rolling with Buffalo. I think I haven't been impressed with Buffalo's victories. Jets and the Giants.
I agree that Buffalo. I mean, if you look at like the advanced metrics, Buffalo is the team in the NFL that's overplayed. Like their record, their record is not indicative of like how bad they've been.
And the same thing with both these teams could be about 4-4.
Oh, the Browns are bad, John. I mean, the Chargers, man. At one point or another, like they're a bunch of boneheads. Can't win.
I put them above like Washington Jet Giant level. We saw what the Browns they did to the Jets. So I put them above that level. They've been in the games. They were in that New England game. They were in the game versus Seattle.
See if I can
beat Baltimore. They whipped on Baltimore. So I'm still the talent is there, and Buffalo has problems stopping the run. So if Chubb can hold on to the ball, I think the Browns are going to come through, and Baker's going to look for Odell this week.
I'm going to tell you all you need to hear. You ready?
All right, here we go.
All right, so Baker Mayfield in the fourth quarter. In the 2019 season, 28 for 52, 334 yards. It's a 53.8 completion percentage. One touchdown, six interceptions, and he's taken 9 sacks.
That's rough. That's not exactly a clutch performance.
That's it. And I don't even know if I blame him. The soup kitchen. I don't want to steal the Simmons. Bill Simmons is,
Yeah, that's another.
That's his name. That's his name, not mine. But I think it's so funny. Soup kitchens.
They gave him too much for a first year coach to keep calling the plays, and obviously he's not fit. Ha ha. He's not fit to handle all the other stuff because you see you got this guy Whitehead that's tweeting nonsense and yeah. You got these idiots with the cleats, the league has to come in and tell them to change the cleats. All the stuff, all nonsense that doesn't have anything to do with football. The stupid quarterback's shaving his face during the game. He comes out with a mustache, a beard, whatever. And then this week he's probably going to shave his nuts at halftime or something. I mean, it's all stuff not related to football that's keeping this team down. But the talent is there.
There's talent, John, but it ain't happening this year. I mean, I feel like part of this is you just jinxing Beckham. Like you're gonna keep picking him.
other than the clean thing, I have to be on the side because there was a stat. I think Baker's only thrown to him about like 3 times in the red zone, and you see like these other top receivers have like 10 to 15 targets in the red zone.
So the one from last week, which goes into the low light reel for Baker this season, was 4th and 5, game on the line. You got Jarvis Landry 5 yards downfield, 2 guys on him, just 2 guys just draped all over him. And you got Odell 1-on-1 outside with Chris Harris. Chris Harris is very good, very good. But Odell dusted him, absolutely dusted him. Miss Harris whiffed on the jam at the line, and Beckham's just running free, easy touchdown.
Baker didn't look at him.
Baker didn't even look at him. Tried to jam it into Jarvis 5 yards downfield, and I mean, Odell, I can't believe he hasn't said anything yet. You know,
no,
it's
they quoted They quoted my camera saying, "I can't get the ball to save my life." They quoted him.
But he didn't. He didn't mean to, at least, you know.
Yeah, he didn't mean to, sure. But I thought it was all Eli. All right, let me not go again. But you know who I blame? It was 4th and 5. I blame the coach. Kitchen should have took a delayed game and made a 4th and 10. He probably would have had a better chance to get the.
Well, you don't want to burn the time out there, so.
With them one last time.
I don't think Buffalo is great, but I think Cleveland is like, you know how we talk about the Chargers and like they're in the game and you kind of know they're going to lose it? Cleveland is like the Chargers, but like on steroids. Really, like if that game's within 10 points in the fourth quarter, money line the other team because it's over. Cleveland's not winning the fucking game.
Do you think Kitchens is going to be a one and done?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And then they're going to bring in like a McCarthy type, somebody with experience? Or who
Dude,
do you think they're going to bring in? Or a college guy? Or what are they going to do?
It's a real attractive job.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of talent there.
Garrett. We make fun of it. We're making fun of them. But they're loaded. I mean, that's why everybody thought they were going to be good. I mean, look at their skill position guys. Their skill position guys are ridiculous. They might be the best in the whole NFL. And then Myles Garrett on defense, both their cornerbacks are kids and are good, Ward and Greedy. I mean, it's on paper a good team, but you got a young quarterback who's getting ruined by this fucking ice cream truck driver that they have coaching the team.
Nah, it's not all him. The quarterback's got to take responsibility himself. He's not very mature about the way he goes about things.
I agree with that, but it's like. It's a worst case scenario to have a quarterback who's got the kid's talented and he played well last year, but you know, he's definitely, he like put a lot more pressure on himself than he had to by acting like an asshole. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
the commercials, the distractions, and we already talked about Beckham. No mini camp. They didn't set up they didn't get to, you know, set up chemistry.
I mean, Beckham's a three-time Super Bowl champion compared to what Mayfield's won.
Oh, my God.
I mean, really, Mayfield's never really done anything, you know? I mean, he was, like, pretty good at the end of a losing season. And he came into the year, chest puffed out, and you can tell he's having trouble dealing with it mentally, right? I mean, he's a mess out there. He's a mistake waiting to happen. And the buffoon on the sidelines is doing nothing to help him out. I would consider firing him in the middle of the season, honestly.
That never does anything. Just like, well, you know, Jet fans want Gase's head. What is that going to do? Mid-season firings, you know, wait to the end.
I think the one thing, John, that I actually think Gase should be fired mid-season as well. And I normally agree with you, but I think the one thing that you have to look at is when you're dealing with, and the Jets are in the same situation with a kid at quarterback whose confidence is just getting destroyed week after week after week. Some of these guys don't bounce back. You know, I mean, look at like David Carr, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, the list goes on and on of guys who are, you know, quarterback's such a mental position where
but in that situation, that's on the GM and everybody for putting up a non-competitive offensive line.
100%.
So what's a new coach going to do? He's still got to play behind that offensive line.
I know, but at least kind of it's like a reset and, you know, a little hope.
With a young team, then you have an interim coach. And then in the offseason, it's the same thing, a coaching search. So all these young players, they have like three different coaches in 4 or 5 months. It doesn't make sense. It's meaningless to do the midseason coaching search.
Sometimes, though, it's like, you really just got to admit that it was a mistake. Like Kitchens, I mean, is very clearly a mistake. I mean, he's overmatched, right? I mean, it was kind of a weird hire when they did it. And Gase, I think Gase is just an odd duck. I mean, he's also overmatched.
Yeah, but like I said, if the owner is the one that hires the coach, and
I think there's more of a chance that Kitchens gets fired midseason. Even though I think Gase probably deserves it more.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the Gatorade bath for Brian Flores?
Hey, like we discussed before, it's the organization is the one that tanks, but the coaching and then the players are out there giving an honest effort.
But and so that's the thing, right? Because you can watch You watch
and
them
Miami
play.
Miami hasn't embarrassed themselves. Miami hasn't embarrassed themselves in any game. Really.
Yeah, exactly. You watch them play. They have a bad record, but they're out there. They're fighting. Their personnel is like, compared to the rest of the league, is they're like a college team. And they're out there. They're fighting. They play for him. You can tell that he's a good coach, right? You can tell that he's making those guys better. Whereas a guy like Kitchens, you've got this all-pro roster. And, I mean, it's on the table that Miami has a better record than them at the end of the season.
Yeah. In your favor, would that play with the defense where they let the tight end dance around like six tackles, where the defense just, you know, they had enough. That's like a quit play. That's like a big red flag. Not in favor of Kitchens. Well, when you see stuff like that, then I agree that might be a midseason fireable. But I figure Cleveland would at least be 4-4 at this time, and they got a real soft schedule out there. And I figured they would be able to get to 9-7 with the
no. And we said that about the
schedule.
Jets. We said that about the Jets too. Yeah, and then what ends out happening? Like, maybe it's something we should think about for next year when we look at these schedules. Is what you looks like a soft schedule. The team that you think is getting the better of it. The other team is also looking like, look.
Yeah, of course. That's a game we could win. That's what Miami said. Hey, we could get our first one.
So you got Cleveland now. This is the easy part of their schedule. Denver, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Miami, Pittsburgh. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Miami, Pittsburgh. That could be 1-1-3. That could be 0-4. I mean,
but even Miami's saying, hey, or Cincy's saying, hey, we could get our first one. We got two chances at Cleveland. We could get our first win.
Oh, and it's in Cleveland, too, which I think works against the Browns, because if Miami's in the game, that crowd's going to get all over them.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a long way of saying, yes, I'm taking the Bills, even though I don't think they're that good.
And the Browns are favored. I'm laying the points. Calvin, lay the points, Calvin. Bet the house on the Browns.
This is one of those games where... Especially if you're going on the Cleveland side of it, it's probably time to, get yourself to a meeting. I wouldn't lay 3 points on Cleveland. I wouldn't lay points on Cleveland playing Boston College right now.
All right, I think we hear enough on the Browns. Let's dive into Vikings Cowboys.
Pat Mahomes is coming back. It's a big story.
Also, let's dive into Vikings-Cowboys Sunday nighter.
Yeah, real quick, let's talk. I mean, just it's a huge story that Mahomes looked like he was done for the year, back after 2 weeks. Matt Moore held down the fort. Got the Chiefs.
Nice victory over the Vikings.
The Chiefs a W that neither one of us saw coming. So
they stopped their home skid, yeah.
Kudos to him, right?
Yeah, the defense stepped up and made a couple plays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Cousins didn't play very well. But, Andy Reid's a very good coach. He doesn't get his just due sometimes. Yeah. He's a very, very good coach. So they should go to Tennessee and just completely wipe the floor with the Titans, most likely. But it's good to see Pat Mahomes back. The NFL is more fun when he's playing. I'm sure you agree there, John.
Oh, definitely. And the Titans, Tannehill has come back down to play it on his usual level, and the Chiefs should roll on this one.
Yep. And then, like you said, John, we have the Sunday night game. Sunday and Monday night games, both really good this week. So Sunday night, you have the Vikings going to Dallas. Dallas coming off a nice victory, which we don't have to talk too much about, but it was
Giants were in the game for a while.
As expected. Dallas played good.
Yeah. The Giants hung in there for a while. But
yeah.
Eventually, too much talent.
Dallas took care of business. Minnesota coming in off a loss. The game's in Dallas. On paper, the teams are pretty even, but...
Adam Thielen is out. That's a huge loss for the Vikings.
But even if he was playing, I kind of go with the home team in this game. I don't think they're going to go in there and beat him.
Yeah, Cousins' record on these primetime games not so good versus good teams. Although I will say he does play a lot better indoors.
Yeah.
So that might help him. But no feeling. I'm going with the Cowboys.
The Cowboys offense is playing real well too, because I mean that's kind of how you would see Minnesota's path to victory, right? Is to, you know, win 24-17 or something. But I really actually do believe in Dak and what he's. I feel like he's really taken a step forward this year. And Elliott, I think, is finally. I feel like he wasn't like 100% in shape because of the holdout. And against the Giants, he really looked like himself. He was really ripping off some big chunk gains.
So, and also, their line is getting healthier
this is true.
Every week.
And that's obviously the strength of their team.
Yeah, it wasn't just the Giants. Even in the game before that versus the Eagles, they got back to where they were a couple of years ago, where they were just a road grade, and Elliott was getting 5 yards before he was getting even touched. They're getting back to that dominant great wall of Dallas. So I like the Cowboys.
All right. So we got a couple things we disagree on, John, but for the most part, we're kind of in sync.
Yes, sir.
I think we hit everything we want to hit. So as we always say, that no one takes us up on, but we'd love it if you did. Reach out. Come on the show. Talk to us. Send us some questions. We love talking football. So,
and we spared the Bears this week. Well, Bears, Lions, they're going to be playing a couple of weeks Thanksgiving. So maybe if they're relevant, we'll get more into it then. But we'll spare the Bears this week.
If they're relevant. Not anytime soon, John. They, you know, sometimes you just draft the wrong guy, right? And that's what happened to them. And it's tough, but it is what it is. And the sooner they accept it and move on, the better everyone's going to be. Any disagreement there?
Not really. I'm just wondering if it's going to be the coach and the quarterback or just one or the other. That'll be a tough one. But nowadays, teams aren't as patient. They used to be like, you had to give a coach 3 years. But now it's like teams are cutting bait after two and then sometimes even one and done. So it's going to be interesting. The Black Monday is going to be very interesting this year.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. So, like I said, everyone, reach out to us. We love talking here. So, We'll definitely be back next week. We're looking forward to watching the games. If anyone's interested in the UFC from Moscow, it's on at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. You can enjoy that. You can watch Greg Hardy fight the first top 10 guy of his career. He's probably going to get killed, so that could be fun for everybody. So, John, anything else to add?
Nice. No, sir. No bye weeks. And we'll be back at it next week.
Absolutely. We'll be back. So, for Mr. D'Amato, I'm the Cowboy. I'm out.
Yes, sir.